This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Friday, April 7th, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns released the timeline for a voluntary national animal ID system. Also, Illinois federal lawmakers and the Secretary of Energy are not seeing eye to eye on E85 expansion, and China is buying U.S. soybeans. But it's unclear of whether it reflects a desire to increase annual U.S. bean purchases. I'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, agricultural weather and a commentary from the Farm Bureau. So here's hoping you're in the mood for the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Friday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. May wheat, 430 down 1. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat, 351 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. July, 364 and 3/4, down 1 1/4. May corn, 243, up 1 1/2. July, 254 and a half, up 1 3/4. September, 263 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. December, 274 and a half, up 1 3/4. May soybeans, 557 and 3/4, down 6 1/4. July, 572 and a quarter, down 5 3/4. August, 577 and a half, down 6 1/4. November, 588 and 3/4, down 4 1/2. May soybean meal, 171.10, down 160. May soybean oil, 22.54, down 13. At the Merck, April feeders, 102 even, up 145. April live cattle, 81.22 and a half, up 152 and a half. April lean hogs, 54.37 and a half, down 45 on the day. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the futures markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello there, Dave.
Want to begin on the outside markets and spend some time with the jobs report and ask you whether the March numbers have any indications in them in your mindset for future hikes in the Fed rate.
Yeah, it probably does. You know, we had non-farm employment up 211,000 for the month of March. Unemployment rate dipped to 4.7%. That's the lowest since July of 2001. It probably promotes two things, and you hit the first one on the nail, Dave. It hits the idea that promotes the Fed's probably on the right track, and it means, you know, higher interest rates are likely to here to stay, and the Fed probably is not done tightening. The last thing we've looked at, you know, as far as the big power bank economists out there saying there's probably two more interest rate hikes or Fed fund hikes coming down the path. But today the 10-year yield was banging on the 5% door, and we suspect it'll probably go through that here in the next couple weeks. And we have to step back and say the unemployment report by itself probably is not going to do something to move the market on its own. But the biggest catalyst, we think, was when Japan came back a couple weeks ago. The Bank of Japan said, hey, no more free money from us. Deflation's over. And we're growing, and that really changed the whole schematic and the whole picture in the credit markets. And probably the second thing we'd say that would probably promote with this jobs report is strong growth, which promotes strong energy consumption. And that's where we really have to watch the energies. The supplies by the Department of Energy are pretty high right now, but the market really doesn't look at that right now. They're probably looking more at the idea that strong growth is going to mean a drawdown in stocks, and they still are very worried about the inflationary Fed tightening mindset, as well as the Middle East. So some of these other, you know, maybe non-fundamental supply and demand issues are still controlling the markets, and this report helps propel that and continue that on.
So what we may be seeing in the corn pit, where we had yet another contract high today in the December, might be more than just buying corn acres, but might be speculation as a hedge against inflation.
We would say that, and only because of this. This is not, you know, far outside analysis here. We got a call a little bit after the close from Dow Jones Newswires, and they said, do you agree with or at least understand what's going on? What we're hearing in the pits in the corn today is that the spec trend followers like corn because of its energy-related qualities, and it makes sense from a standpoint that when you look at the formula that some of these folks are probably using, these spec trend followers, that they're probably using is stronger growth equals increased energy consumption, and this includes corn and sugar because they're real energy players now with the production of ethanol. And so if you just tie it together that simply, and you don't even go down the path of a weaker dollar and the fact that the dollar is what crude oil is based off of in terms of price in the world, and you don't go down the path of the sensitivity of how much corn is sensitive to changes in exchange rates, University of Minnesota study done during the Ag Forum by USDA in February, a fantastic presentation that we pulled off the web, but it shows how strong and sensitive, you know, corn is to and the exchange rate and the real GDP growth in exports. So these spec trend followers really probably do attach themselves to the idea that if energy growth is going to be strong because world growth is going to be strong because of tighter interest rates, you're going to have these people step into the corn because it's more undervalued than something like gold, which is hitting 25-year highs, or crude that has been rallying for a year and a half.
December corn on the week, 274.5 as a settlement, up 6.5 on the week. November soybeans, 588.75, the weekly settlement there, down 14. The ratio between the two now 2.15 to 1, and you would think that might be in the near term enough to buy corn acres, assuming no more planting delays. But you look at the technicals, and that paints a little bit different picture, Mike. There's some upside still on this December corn.
It does. You know, if you look at the technicals in the November bean, if you do a, you know, November bean chart divided by December corn chart and look at some of the oscillators, it says it's bottoming and it's down to, I think, a 4 or 5 year low at this point, Dave. But you're absolutely right. If you look at corn, it says that it's going higher in December futures after today's new contract high. You know, we took out that 718, 273 high, 718 of 05, and now we're probably on track for the June 28th 04 high of 282.25. So does that mean that maybe the corn, if the wheat can come on board, will the corn and wheat help drag the beans up? And I guess that'd be more of our preference.
If the wheat comes on board, and let's look at the particulars then from the May wheat, for example, does it have to come on board all the way to the gap left over from, say, 15 March at 377.5?
Yeah, and, you know, we were pretty disappointed with the wheat. We have a hot and dry forecast setting up in the hard red winter country for the next week, very warm temperatures. We have planting delays in the Red River Valley for spring wheat planting right now. And we also had a really nice technical picture develop yesterday in July futures, especially with the crossing over the 200-day moving average. And so we really were looking for more in the wheat today, but we didn't get that, and that's probably what held the corn back from extending gains. I guess when we hit 275 in December corn, the first thing we looked at was what that May wheat was doing and July wheat was doing to see if it could, you know, start some rallying in that pit and each of them could work off of each other, but that didn't happen. The trade was just a little bit too thin today, and it was a little bit too skittish before the reports on Monday.
So what are you telling your producers who are looking at this 275 corn?
Well, we're on high alert right now. We want to go up to 100% of anticipated production between 275 to 280. We don't want to do any more cash sales past what we've already done, that 40% level. We want to start buying puts and have very nice floor positions in place all the way through to the end of the year. And we'll either have a very good put with very low these corn prices because we haven't had any planting delays and we've had good weather, or we'll have sharply higher futures prices because we're not going to be able to do a good job of meeting demand because we've had some, you know, crop production problems. Our put will decline in value, but all those puts are sitting there with cash unsold, and so the cash market should be helping us if the market's rallying later on this year. But when we look at a 25-year December corn chart and knock out all the other contract months, we really like to draw a flat line over 280 and say, this, if you sold this every year, year in and year out, you would be on the top 5 or top 7, top 10% of sales for the last 25 years. And when you get those 88s and 93s and 96s, you're having something extraordinary happen. And so we're leaving the door open for those type of extraordinary years this year because demand is so good in Corn Day, but we're really wanting to get the floors in place at 280 nonetheless.
Thanks much, Mike.
Have a nice weekend, Dave.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. A tornado watch is in effect for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Logan, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, Vermilion counties in the WILO severe weather coverage area until 8 o'clock this evening, and a flash flood watch in effect for parts of central and southeastern Illinois through this evening in the WILO severe weather coverage area. The following counties included: Coles, Clark, Cumberland, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby. In agricultural news, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns laid out benchmarks Thursday for the National Animal Identification System, saying all livestock born in 2009 or later would have computerized individual numbers. Johanns says implementing a national ID system is a huge undertaking.
We are talking about a system that literally says from the time of their birth on through the entire chain, we will trace that animal until we can ascertain where the animal finally was processed.
Johanns avoided saying USDA would adopt a mandatory ID program, but USDA officials hinted that mandatory participation may come after 2009. USDA Chief Veterinarian John Clifford says it depends on whether the voluntary benchmarks are reached or fall short of targeted goals.
For January 2009, we're talking about having 100% of all premises registered, 100% of all new animals identified. That's basically animals that have been recently born that would be moving in commerce. Also, 60% of animals less than a year of age have complete movement data on them in the system.
Johanns said he is confident livestock producers will enter animals in high volumes into a tracking program, making a mandatory system a moot point. The U.S. Secretary of Energy says he is happy with the progress of expanding use of E85, the fuel that is made of 85% ethanol. While some Illinois politicians are calling for a more serious attempt to expand the use of corn-based fuel, Secretary Samuel Bodman says some big oil companies are giving serious consideration of what it will take to add E85 to their gas stations.
So, I mean, I think that there is movement and there is activity there, and I'm not displeased with it. And so there may be the threat. We may have to get to the point where we need government mandates, but I do not believe we're there now.
Bodman says the Department of Energy is planning to solicit comments from the public and private sectors on how to make E85 more available to consumers. Federal lawmakers from Illinois have been critical of both the DOE and oil industry on E85 implementation. Senator Barack Obama is calling for tax credits for gas station owners that install E85 pumps as a way to accelerate expansion. Bodman says such credits won't help.
It is not a tax issue. This is not an income issue. This is an issue of companies trying to make a determination of how to deploy distribution resources for their customers. And they are, in my judgment, going about it in a reasonable and a responsible manner for the most part.
Obama, Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, and Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich have sent a letter to six of the nation's largest oil companies asking for documentation of policies that might be slowing E85 expansion. The number of E85 stations in Illinois has increased from 20 to 108 in the past 12 months. The Missouri House of Representatives have passed a state renewable fuel standard. The measure would go into effect in 2008 and require that all gasoline sold in Missouri contain 10% ethanol when the price of ethanol is the same or lower than regular unleaded gasoline. The bill now moves to the Missouri Senate. A delegation of 13 Chinese soybean processors held the first of four press events in Chicago on Thursday, signing 10 separate deals to import nearly 5 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans and 20,000 tons of U.S. soybean oil. Although the Chinese would not say if the signings represented an anticipated expansion of U.S. bean imports, Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says the agreements still had global significance.
It's a special day for Illinois, it's a special day for America, and it's a special day for China. The importance of both of our countries exchanging goods and having a strong trade relationship is important for world prosperity and world peace. American consumers enjoy the opportunity to buy Chinese goods, and Chinese consumers enjoy the opportunity to purchase American goods, especially our agricultural products and especially our soybeans.
The Chinese delegation is expected to sign further contracts today in Minnesota and Monday in Washington, D.C. Japanese officials say they plan to propose creation of a 16-nation free trade area that would cover much of East Asia and rival those already in place in North America and Europe. As envisioned by Japan, the proposed free trade zone would encompass half of the world's population and about a quarter of the global gross domestic product. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Roachkiss says urban sprawl is hurting agriculture in central Illinois.
Communities throughout the nation, surrounded by high-quality farmland, have been extending their asphalt tentacles farther and farther into the countryside, and the trend isn't likely to stop anytime soon. How is it play in Peoria has been the catchphrase since vaudeville times, and it has remained appropriate over the years. Central Illinois today is a good example of how some civic leaders apparently think that allowing houses to spread across pastures and farm fields is why God made North America so big. Leading by their actions, they profess that there is no need for all that farm ground. It should be cut into parcels for new home construction. One developer in Peoria thinks that cutting 84 acres of farm ground into 2 to 5 acre lots for only 33 homes answers critics' concerns about urban sprawl. It will be a country-friendly subdivision. It will give people lots of yard space so they don't have close neighbors. That rich Illinois soil won't be used for production agriculture any longer, but at least the county board isn't approving the transformation of the entire county into housing subdivisions. From one year to the next, people at the edge of farm-surrounded cities and suburbs watch farm fields being transformed into subdivisions. Owners of two-year-old homes are no longer at the edge, but at the core of new tracts of housing. Time-lapse video would show a reverse domino effect as hundreds of houses can be hammered up, filling a quarter section of former farmland in just one year. According to the Department of Agriculture, U.S. farmland decreased by 2.9 million acres from 2004 to 2005, and much of that land went out of production agriculture forever, and into single-family housing lots. Real estate agents will tell you it's easier to sell a new upper-middle-class home near Peoria than a used home in the city. The same plays true across most of the Midwest and other regions, as it does some of our nation's most productive farmland, which is frequently located on the outskirts of cities and suburbs, will continue to be under development pressure. This is Amy Rochkiss with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkiss's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Well, the market has been busily trying to buy corn acres in the last week or so. How well of a job have they done?
I am not sure here. We've definitely seen interest in new crop corn selling out here. It's grabbing some attention. One thing we're keeping in mind is whether you have to do it just on the spread between corn and bean price or whether you have to actually have a high enough new crop flat corn price to grab attention. And I lead a little bit into that camp where it's, flat price is important too, not just the spread between the two.
So if you have to have a good flat price to gain attention, have we done so at, well, on the futures, 275 today, another contract high?
We are definitely gaining some interest out there. We are seeing some new crop selling. Yesterday was a big day. Today was a little more moderate, but it's not over. We closed on the highs, so I think we'll see some additional selling into the afternoon here. So I think we're gaining some interest, and it'll take us a couple weeks so until we get in the fields and see if we're actually getting the job done.
Speaking of getting into the fields, are we going to get into the fields in the next week or so?
Here we didn't have as much rain as down towards Champaign and over towards Springfield. I think here it's going to be dependent on those Wednesday, Thursday rain event. If we can skip that, I think we'll see people starting to get into the fields in some places. You get into the area north of Springfield where I was at and had 3.5 inches of rain yesterday. It's wet and it's going to stay that way for a while.
You look over at the soybean pit. It was a different story on the week. The May beans down 13.75. Your harvest month, November, down 14. I suppose the phone's very quiet when it comes to soybeans.
Yes, very quiet on soybeans. Conversely to the corn, there is a little bit of basis improvement going on soybeans, but that is pretty limited. We're continuing to see reports and rumbles of the poor crush margin and how the processor really isn't all that interested in having to push very far for soybeans to get anything going. We're seeing some more talk about extended downtimes in the processors.
Yeah, Peoria improved by 2 today, down to 27.5 under. Quincy on the river was up 3 today, down 7 on. So I guess if you're on the river, it's a little better.
Yes, yeah, a little bit of an opportunity for the river system.
What about your bids today, sir?
Well, we're a little improved. Basis held steady here today, so we're at 229 on nearby corn and 540 on soybeans.
What are producers saying about the potential for ending stocks on Monday, if they're talking about it at all?
Not a whole lot of comment on it. I think everybody, the biggest concern is on soybeans. Once again, the market's expecting to see an increase in carryout, reduced crush, reduced exports there. So I think that's the biggest concern.
Thanks much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. And in about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Jurors in Bloomington are continuing to deliberate today in the murder trial of Maurice Legrone Jr., who's accused of drowning three children in Clinton Lake in 2003. The murder case against Legrone was turned over to the jury yesterday afternoon after closing arguments. Prosecutor Ed Parkinson says the jurors were very attentive over the nearly four-week trial and says deliberations could be lengthy. Illinois lawmakers could be getting pay increases of nearly 10%, even as they struggle to find enough money for next year's state budget. Senate President Emil Jones said today he doesn't know yet whether lawmakers will turn down the increase recommended by the state's Compensation Review Board. But House Democrats are preparing a resolution to reject the increase, and Governor Rob Blagojevich has already announced his opposition to it. A Mohammed teen hit by an SUV last week has died. The Champaign County coroner says 16-year-old John Matthews succumbed to head injuries overnight at Carl Foundation Hospital. The Mohammed Seymour freshman was struck just outside the high school last Friday as classes were letting out. Matthews was a Special Olympics athlete. The Champaign County Zoning Board of Appeals voted last night to recommend against adopting two provisions in a proposed rewrite of county zoning rules. The ZBA recommended against establishing buffer zones, limiting development around streams, drainage ways, parks, and preserves. ZBA Chair Deborah Greist says the proposed stream and drainage way buffers had come in for particular criticism during public hearings. Indiana State Police hope a big pay raise for new troopers will help attract more people to the force. Governor Mitch Daniels announced today that incoming state troopers will get a starting salary of over $39,000, a 20% increase. 36 new troopers were sworn in today. A Bloomington, Indiana alpaca breeder is suing an Illinois farm to find out who fathered her alpaca's offspring. Kathy Crossan says that without proof of paternity, she can't breed or sell the offspring of her prized female named Peruvian Lily of the Incas. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
What's the potential for severe weather?
Well, actually, it's pretty good in most of the watch area we've seen. I think here in Champaign, Urbana, East Central Illinois, the door is going to get shut here probably within an hour or so. There is a cold front that's now between here and Bloomington, basically, and once that front goes through, when the winds swing around to the northwest here, that will pretty much shut off our chances. And if you're in behind that front, it's going to be a little bit cooler, and that will pretty much kill things. But down to the south in the St. Louis area, there's currently some pretty good activity going out in St. Clair County, Clinton County, and on eastward, and also in Indiana. But that's where I think the most of the focus will be this afternoon and this evening.
The drought monitor this week showed that there is still some dry conditions across a wide swath of the Corn Belt, dry to moderately droughty. What are you thinking after, since that, because we have had some significant rain?
Yeah, in fact, if you look at the bullseye of precipitation amounts this week through yesterday or through this morning, it's right over the core of the drought area there in northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. It takes a while for the drought to disappear. I would say we're not in an agricultural drought up there or anywhere else in Illinois for that matter right now, but it is a hydrological drought. Stream flows for most of the winter and early spring were well below normal because of the extended dry conditions. And I haven't seen the latest information, but that's part of the reason the drought's maintained, because until those base flows come up, we are in a hydrological drought. But that being said, in the light of the rain this week and the prospects for rain in the next week to 10 days, I think we'll keep continuing to eat away at that drought area, and we should be in pretty good shape come growing season. Question right now probably is if some people can get in the fields with all the rain we've had.
Is the northwestern Corn Belt in line for some rain early next week?
Yeah, in fact, there's been a lot of rain up in the northern plains and northern Corn Belt the last week or so to the point where it's been flooding in places. But we're going to stay in this active weather pattern, it appears, for the next week to 10 days, and which means fairly regular chances for showers and thunderstorms. So I think prospects of getting a lot of moisture in the soil before the end of April are pretty good.
And what about the potential then for planting delays? That's already in the traders' minds, at least up in Chicago, on a talk-in-the-pit basis.
I don't think it'll be a widespread thing. It'll be more localized in places where they've been getting some of these heavy rains. We had an area here in Illinois. There's another area that got clobbered in through Iowa and up into Minnesota with some heavy rain. But they're fairly localized areas that'll have some problems probably. But I think in a general sense, I don't think there'll be too many delays in that regard.
Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Dave.
Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 Central Time for Commodity Week, our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. This is Dave Dickey.